You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
With your permission, we're in a church. We're going to use our Bibles tonight. Is that all right with you? I think it should be. I'm very, very excited about our Bible study. We're looking at words to live by. We looked at the word kindness. Don't you? I think this Wednesday night crowd wants to be kind. I want to be kind to people. I want to be kind to the unkind and those that are mean-spirited and those that are vicious. I want to be kind to them. I want to be kind to everybody in life. I'd like to live my life in such a way that when God calls me home, they say he was firm in what he believed, but he was kind about it. Then last week we saw the word forgiveness. I've had more people talk to me, said these two lessons have been so helpful. I hope this one tonight is very helpful. Tonight, as we think of the word that's before us, we'll look at a Bible word, but we'll use another word that identifies that word. Who can tonight, now think of this, who can correct you without World War III? Who can correct you? That's the word we're going to look at tonight, correction. I mean, sir, can your wife approach you, or is it, you know, I'm just going to leave it alone? He'll get mad, he'll get upset, he'll pout for several days. Or can your wife approach you and talk to you? Do you take rebuke or do you take reproof from your wife? You ought to.
Amen.
Dear lady, would it be World War III if your husband came to you and said, I want you to work on this, or would it be a fight? How about kids, your parents? You have such good parents. I know they're not perfect, but you have good parents. But if your mother came to you, daughter, and said, you know, honey, that dress is too short. It's too tight. It's not appropriate. Let's change it. Would that be World War III? Or could your mother actually say, could she say, maybe this is not, I don't think it's an issue anymore. It's these earrings that are 15 feet wide, you know. I've told you the story before, but a college girl was wearing these big old tires, big old earrings, just big. I said, where'd you get those things? She said, well, your wife bought them for me. So I guess that's where she got them. But could your mother tell you, could she honestly tell you something's not right and you would change it? Your attitude's not right? Or to your brother, son, your attitude's not right towards your dad. Can a principal, can our principal talk to you and correct you? Can your pastor correct you? You know, I know my strengths, I know my weaknesses. Brother Whitlaw, I'll deal with error. But I'll tell you what, it kills me to have to deal with people about problems. It just kills me. I said it before, I'll say it again, Brother Tim's coming in to see us, see his mom here a few days, but I hated spanking. I was terrible at it, I was no good at it. To rebuke my kids, it would keep me, Brother Elliot, it'd keep me up at night. Tabitha kept me up all the time. It would just keep me up. No, she didn't. It'd keep me up because it bothers me. And so many times I want to say something to somebody. I say, you know, I think we ought to just, and I don't do it. And that's my job, but I have the hardest time. Tonight we're going to look at this word. It's the word reproof. And reproof simply means correction. Who can correct you without a battle? Can your boss? Can your parents? Amen. Can a Sunday school teacher? Amen. Can a bus worker? Amen. Can a deacon? Can a deacon's wife? Can an usher? Who could correct you? We and thank God you used them. We have the pews back here roped off. But do we obey that? And thank God you did tonight. I'm glad to see that. But do we obey it or do we move them? They don't have a right to do this to me. What I'm going to, people quit church over stuff like that. I'm out of here. I'm not coming. What are you talking about? I'm going to look at the Bible with you tonight for a few moments. And we're in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. Let's turn there. And let's read together. All the ladies, read verse number 25. 125. Ladies, ready? Begin. These people would not listen to God. They would not take God's correction. Men, will you read verse number 30, please? Chapter 1, verse 30. Ready, begin.
They will not count counsel. They despise all my reproof.
So here in verse number 25, no reproof. I don't want it. And then they despised his rebuke. Go to chapter 5, please, and verse number 12. Let's all read it together. 5, 12. Ready, begin. And say,
how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof?
So there's a second time he says, I despise reproof. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know many in here, you'd say, I am one of those people. I hate reproof. I don't like reproof. I'm the opposite. I love reproof. I love it when I work for a boss and he said, now, Jack, you're not doing this right. I loved it. I loved it when a coach would tell me, Jack, here's how you field. You're not fielding the ball right. I remember Brother Rob teaching me that I wasn't fielding right at shortstop. And he corrected me on it. I loved it. I enjoyed it. I remember faculty in college corrected me about certain things. I remember a music director. He's still alive. He's very aged now. But he would just get in my face and correct me. He just felt like, you know, that's part of my life. And I loved him. He is my favorite. But he would correct me. Look what the Bible says in chapter 9. This is it. Chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. Chapter 9, 8 and 9. Ready? Begin. Reprove not a scorner,
lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instructions to a wise man, and he will be advisor. Teach a just man, and he will increase his learning.
You know, God's word says, don't even reprove a scorner. If no one reproves you, it might be because you scorn. You're not going to take it anyway. So why would your wife want to bring it up to you? Why would your husband want to bring it up to you? Why would your pastor want to bring it? You're not going to take it. So just, I love you, you love me, we're a big family. You know, that's it.
Amen.
But God's word says you're a fool if you reprove a scorner. Look at chapter number 10. Chapter 10, let's read verse 17 together. 10, 17, ready, begin. He is in the way of life. So we can take no reproof, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 25. We can despise reproof. We can be a scorner and not receive reproof. Or we can err from the truth, as it says in verse 17, because he erreth. I don't care. I don't want it. Look what the Bible says, chapter 12. You're doing great. Chapter 12, verse 1. Ready, begin.
Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish.
What's brutish mean? It means stupid. Now, I know that's an English word we don't use around here. We don't use it in our family. We don't call people stupid. But that's what the word brutish means. It means a stupid person. And really, if I will not receive correction, God says, Jack, you're stupid. You're dumb. You're foolish. You're erring. You're despising it. Look what the Bible says in chapter 13. Here's a positive one. Look at chapter 13, verse 18. 13, 18. Ready? Begin. Poverty. So God says, I'll honor you if you will get reproof.
Amen.
I'll honor you with that. Take this verse, chapter 15. This is a good 15:5. This is a good verse as well. Let's read it. Ready? A fool
despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent.
I want to be a prudent man.
Amen.
And God says, Jack, if you'll listen to correction, okay, that person has to be older than I am. Well, no, they don't have to be older than me. There's someone that's younger than you. I remember when I was just in my early 20s when I came to this church and was pastoring, everybody was older than me. And I really had a battle with that for a little while, probably a year or two, because I thought, how in the world am I going to correct these deacons? And I was trying to correct our deacons. We had about 30 people coming, and I had five of those were deacons. And we had up to 40 coming, and then 50. And I kept getting all these versions of the Bible showing up. In the 70s, there was just a lot of versions coming out. And so I took on a Sunday night, I brought a stack of Bibles that I have. Good News for Modern Man, the New Evangelical, New International Version. All these, I brought them all, a whole stack of them. And I brought a King James over here. And I preached from, this is not a biblical message, but I preached it anyway. Philippians 3, verse 1, beware of dogs. And I named, Brother Manning, you're laughing. I named all of those Bibles dogs. And I proved to them where they take the scriptures out, they remove the scriptures, or they take the blood out, or they take the, Good News for Modern Man says, a girl shall conceive. Well, a girl is not a virgin. The Bible says a virgin shall conceive, the King James. And I said, this is a dog. And I was wrong. I was young. I threw it. Dog! I preached a little bit. Threw it behind me. Dog! One landed in the baptistry. Oh, it was terrible. Threw it over here. I threw them all over the place. That started a war. I lost three of my five deacons on that message. You know, I probably didn't need to lose them. I probably could have handled it better. I recall when I was trying to introduce the King James Bible, I got this great idea. The Bible says, till I come, give attendance to reading. That is public reading. So we're commanded to publicly read. What we're doing tonight is biblical. Publicly read the Word of God. So I started reading the Word of God, and a lady came up to me and said, don't do that anymore. She goes, you're confusing the church. We have all these different versions, and we can't stay together. And I said, well, God's Word says I'm to publicly read the Word of God. And I'll never forget her spirit. She was so kind about it. She goes, well, then I better get a King James Bible if that's what you're going to use. She had a good spirit about it. Look what the Bible says in chapter 15, verse number 10. Let's read it together. Here it is, verse 10. Ready, begin. God says, you're not going to live. Look what the Bible says in chapter 15, verse 31. Ready? Begin. You're a wise person if you want reproof. You're very wise. I don't know. I have no idea about the computer field. But maybe could somebody help me with here? In the computer field, I know the assigned work, and you can work from home, or you can work from here, work from another country. I know. But is there any reproof going on? Brother Joel, do you have to reprove your workers when they don't follow through? Is there reproof? Sure there would be. There'd have to be. I don't know how you do it. And some take that reproof easy. Some don't take it very easy, do they? How many in the computer field tonight? How many work in the computer? A lot of you. Brother Galen, is it true? Yeah, there's reproof. You have to have reproof. We got to get on the same page. Look what the Bible says in chapter number 17. Chapter 17. You're doing great tonight. Verse number 10. Ready? 17:10. Ready? Begin. Let's go all the way to chapter 29. Chapter 29. Look at verse 15. 29:15. 29:15. Ready? Begin. See, kids, you're going to have reproof in your life. That's how you're going to grow.
Amen.
You're going to mature as you have son. Doesn't mean that you're on them about everything. Sit up, shake your hands. Don't drive your kid crazy. But you can train your child. That's your God-given responsibility. Train up a child.
Amen.
Shape a child the way it should go. And Dad, you ought to be having regular appointments with your children.
Amen.
I was teaching our Sunday school class Sunday. I just believe that every dad ought to sit down. Let's say you have a elementary school kid or junior high or high school kid. You ought to say, where are you weak, son? And then you ought to have an appointment to your, where you're weak. What do you want dad to do? And I'd say if you have one son or whatever, two sons, you ought to get those sons and they're weak with finances. Do they know how to handle finances? And get them Dave Ramsey book and read it together 15 minutes a night. Teach them for about 5 minutes. Have prayer with them that they might learn how to handle money.
Good.
You know, most kids, we find this in our college, most kids, they get a credit card, they don't know how to handle it. You have to pay that bill off every month.
Amen.
You can't have interest on it. You have to pay it off every month. My wife and I have a credit card, and we use it almost extensively every month. We put everything we can on that credit card. But I've never had in years, ever, 15, 20 years, maybe longer, I've never had a dime of interest on that credit card because I got to pay it off every month.
Amen.
So I'll have the money, and if I have the money, I keep it there, and then once a month I go to the bank and I pay it off. You got to have your children learn how to handle money.
Amen.
Don't go buy them a brand new car. Save that for them when they get married. That they together, husband and wife, might get a brand new car together when it's time. And hopefully they'll pay cash for it. Dad, sit down with your kids financially. Sit down with them spiritually and work with their spiritual life. Sit down with them socially. This morning, I'm just talking to Dad, this morning in high school, I didn't preach to the kids the day, but I'm trying to train all of our people to speak up and to talk. I had four deacons pray last night. All four deacons around that great room, 40-some deacons, and you could hear them pray. They prayed like men. We had four men pray at men's prayer last Saturday. All four men, you could hear them pray. But almost in every area of our school, elementary, junior high school, college, almost every time, it's like when I travel and the ushers come forward and the pastor invariably says, John, lead us in prayer. And here's how he prays. Our Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And we thank you for Brother Traber. I pray you bless him. And you're looking. Is he done? Amen. You don't even know what the guy said. That's not appropriate. One time, I told one of the groups this morning, one time, this building's going to be 20 years old in August. We moved over here 20 years ago. This building, one time, about 15, 16 years ago, the power went off when I was preaching. There was auxiliary lights that came on, but very few lights, and the sound went off. I never even acknowledged it. It's 3,000-seat auditorium. I just lifted my voice and kept preaching. I could preach, and I could fill this auditorium without a microphone.
Amen!
And I won't ever lose my voice because I'm breathing from my diaphragm also. I'm not breathing from my throat. Do your children know how to breathe? See, if you're a public speaker, teach this to your children. Get them some books, lay them on their bed. I had this for 15 minutes a day when I was in college, had to do it as an exercise. And you put the books on your stomach. You inflate a balloon, you're putting air into it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And then you expel it and it goes down. When you are training your children how to speak vocally, the books should go up when you put air in, and you expel the air, the books should go down.
Amen!
You train that to your children. You train them how to drive. Train your boys respect. Every elderly person ought to have young people talking to them before church, after church, saying hello to you. Every elderly person ought to get a help to their car. Every person on a cane or a walker or a wheelchair ought to get some help. Train that. Train them. A lady comes in the room, you stand up, say, that's old-fashioned. That's the way we do things around here.
Good.
I want you to know that you're going to have to reprove.
Amen.
And reprove means you discover error. And you correct that error. And that's what God's word is saying. My Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. So you discover the error, you deal with the error, then you encourage your kids. You did a good job with that, son. Encourage them. Don't let everything be negative. Oh, you did this wrong, did that. No, encourage them. So tonight, in closing, let's put it together. Number one, seek correction. God's word says to seek it. A scorner loveth not he that reproveth them, neither will he go with the wise. But he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Give instruction to a wise, but he'll be a wiser. You and I ought to be seeking correction. I think of Brother John Morris. John's been a builder for 30 years plus. You think the guy knows a little bit about building? You think that some of you boys, your boys, could work for him if he had the need to hire you this summer? And he's a journeyman, and you could learn from him. Well, could he correct you? No, don't make that cut. Don't do that. No, don't nail that board like that. Here's how you do it. I tell you what, I know my personality. I would love to work for somebody. That's why I never thought God was calling me to pastor. I love taking orders from a pastor. I love trying to help the pastor. That's my goal. My goal is to help all these kids become a greater pastor than I am. That would be the thrill of my life. I worked for a pastor, and he was very, very abrupt. He could call me down. He said, "Now, Jack," I was there on Sunday, the first Sunday. Monday, I went by his office. He said, "Come on in here." And he gave me a list of about 20 things I did wrong. I didn't go home and tell my wife. I said, "Thank you, Pastor." One was, he said, "Brother Jack, you just backed off when you're leading a song and I was supposed to come. That's not how we do it. We do it that way here, but that's not how he wanted." He said, "I want this pulpit to be the focal point and you say, thank you for standing. Please remain standing. I want you to, so that when I give the invitation, when I say to stand and come forward, they've got the idea. Now, we don't do it that way here, but that's the way he wanted." And I loved it. I love the correction. Amen. And he, Pat Carr knows him, he was hard on me. But he was not hard on me because he loved me. And he was trying to help me. And he was trying to school me. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. He said, "Okay, now, Jack, I'm going to give you this paint room." It had lawnmowers. It had gasoline. It had paint in there. He said, "Clean it out." I said, "Where do you want me to put it?" He goes, "That's not my area. That's your area. Put it wherever it belongs." And I painted it, and I painted the floor, and I got it all ready. And he said, "Now, I want you to start an adult class. And I want that adult class to have your salary within 1 year, or I'm going to let you go. You can't be on our staff anymore. In tithes and offerings, you have to have enough for your salary coming in." Well, I'd never started an adult class before. And I'll never forget my first Sunday. And he goes, "You can't get anybody from the church to come from another class. You cannot get anybody. I'm going to watch. If you get anybody from this church, you're doing it wrong. I'm not going to keep you." He was hard. But I remember my first Sunday, I had 7. My next Sunday, I had 12. And that thing started growing. I'll never forget, I walked by his office after 6 months. And I said, "By the way, Pastor, you know you want me to have my salary within a year? I've got it within 6 months. How about a raise?" He goes, "No, you just keep going. You just keep doing it." And that was it. Hey, you know what? It was great.
Amen.
Are you seeking correction? And so the Bible says I'm to seek correction. Secondly, I'm to obey correction. God's word, we've just read all these verses. I'm to obey correction. You're not a know-it-all. Thirdly, and I'm done, love the man that corrects you. That's what the Bible says. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. You know, I've had so many capable people on staff, and I've got the most capable staff I've ever had, I believe. But I believe I could go to any staff member. I really do. I believe I could go, Brother Fennell, I believe I could go to any staff member and correct a staff member. I would not like it. Heather Kissel gave a testimony in the elementary chapel about her dad today. It was tremendous. I feel like I could correct that lady about anything without World War III breaking out. I wouldn't know what I'd correct her about, but I could do it. I don't know, Brother Flood, I could correct Brother Flood. Would you receive it, yes or no? It's kind of fun to be told. I go by a lot of these secretaries, there are five of them work in the same office, a lot of them on the media. And I went by Sister Jane's office here after she had designed all the graphic designs for the bulletin, for the calendar. She had it all designed. And I said to her, I said, now, this hasn't gone to print yet, has it? I said, because I want to change the color. I don't like this red. I like the blue. Well, she said, we can do that, Pastor. We've already run it. All the bulletin covers are here, but we can do that. I said, well, let's go ahead and do it. And I walked out. I walked back in. I said, just kidding. You know, her attitude is like her husband, Brother Fuller. Their attitude is just, whatever you want, Pastor, we'll do it. You know, the higher up you go the ladder of life, the more you ought to seek correction. And when you receive correction, you'll be a better person for it.
Amen.
Who could correct you without World War III? Can your husband? Can your wife? Can your parents? Do your kids have a voice with you, Dad? Does your boss? Does a school teacher? Does the principal? Does a Sunday school? Who could correct you? This is our third word in our series tonight. We have the word kindness and the word forgiveness. And tonight the word correction. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Lord, I pray that I'd look for correction in my life. Reproof. I pray that every person here, these boys and girls, these teenagers are such great kids. They're so far ahead of where I was at their age. But now I've gotten a little bit wiser with age. I can help them. I know I can. I could help them. And I pray that they would seek that help. May we all seek correction. May we not get upset with our mother or our dad when they correct us. May we have a thankful heart that they love us so much and want to bring us up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.